Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of the Dear Kobe podcast. It's kind of weird to hear me say that out loud, but yeah, here we are. Beginning of the journey, so to speak, of this whole experience. Hopefully by now you've heard the intro to the podcast, which I basically recorded just to kind of go over how everything is going to work on the show. Obviously, it's going to evolve and, you know, things are going to change as we go along, as I find my footing on the structure, on like bringing people on the podcast to have discussions and things of that nature. So, you know, all of that stuff may change as we go, but very excited to kind of get going here and just get my bearings as we go along. And of course, you know, things might change. Like I might do video along with audio. I might try different episode types and maybe do like bonus episodes, you know, things of that nature. So we'll see how it goes as I go along here. But one thing I did want to just bring up, this is definitely a personal project for me. This is something that I take a lot of pride in doing, and it's a forum that I'm going to be using to kind of express myself in various different ways, you know, whether that's current events or things that are going on in sports, real life, as in, you know, not necessarily political, but if I see something that I feel needs to be expressed or that I want to share with people that are listening, then I'm going to do so. But at the same time, this is also something that I really want to be interactive. So, you know, as I bring people on, you know, you might hear discussions that our opinions differ, and I kind of want to present a different view of what I'm thinking about. So that's something that you're going to probably hear as we go along. You know, there's going to be different dynamics, and I think that's important when you have this kind of a show, right? Sports are always going to be debatable. You know, who's the best basketball player of all time? Who's the best, you know, NFL running back? Who's the best pitcher? Who's the best tennis player? Like, all of those things are always going to be subjective. So it's important for me to not only have my voice, but also have different voices, because not everyone's going to share the same opinions that I have. And that's okay. We all are going to have different opinions for the most part. But what I want to have this show be about is, you know, there's definitely a focus with the show on what I want it to be. But as I go along this journey and as I bring other people on and we have different discussions, that's always going to be able to lead to other things. So that's, you know, one thing that I did want to just bring up at the forefront of this whole thing is just like, ask questions, make your opinion known. Let me know how you feel about an episode or a topic or something that you do want to hear about in the future. And I'll definitely do my best to kind of include that in some way. I may even have you on if we're able to make it work. So just kind of want to bring that up right from the get-go. And just to kind of do a little recap as well, just on kind of the structure of how things are going to mostly go on an episode-to-episode basis. For the most part, the beginning of the show is always going to be just a discussion on, you know, either current events or it's maybe a current topic in sports, how the Lakers are doing, if we're in NBA season, how I see, you know, the league as a whole. Maybe there's something going on in a different sport that I want to bring up. So it's basically an open table topic time. It's a tongue twister. But it's an open topic. So it's kind of just going to be whatever I feel is worth bringing up at that time. And of course, it's also going to be a time for housekeeping of sorts. So if I need to correct something that was said on a prior episode, or maybe I just need to make aware of something that's going to be coming up down the line, that'll be the time where I bring that stuff up. And after that, we're going to be having kind of a staple of the show, which is going to be a discussion based around Kobe's career. You know, that's essentially what this whole thing is kind of a almost a recap of his entire career. You can think of it like a chapters or of a book, or, you know, different volumes of a movie. All of those things come into play, but, you know, what I want this to be is just something that, like, when you play this back, or if you listen to it from the start, you know, there's definitely a starting point, and then there's going to definitely be an end point. At the end of all of this, this podcast will end. It definitely has a definite end point. And what I want that whole body of work to be is a, you know, a full letter to Kobe. That's where the title comes from, Dear Kobe. So my plan in all of this is just to have a recap of, and every episode of a game in his career. So we would start from the beginning when he was a rookie. And then there's going to be times where, you know, maybe I want to lump a couple games together. Perhaps it's a pivotal time during his career where something happens, or, you know, he has a stretch of games that kind of are all interconnected and they align with the general topic that I want to discuss on the show. So just a, you know, just basically wanted to kind of inform you of that. You know, there's going to be times where I just want to talk about one specific game of his career, and then there's going to be times where I lump up three or four because it has an overall story to me, and that's something that I want to discuss. So every episode we're basically going to not dissect necessarily, but just bring up one of his games and, you know, how I kind of correlate that or have a story about that specific thing in relation to my life, or maybe something else that's going on and I wanted to relate it to that. So just putting that out there. And these will go in order. So you're going to hear probably the first, you know, dozen or two dozen episodes are going to be his rookie season, you know, which started in 1996, which is kind of crazy to think about, but that's something that's going to be a constant. So just kind of going over that structure here. So what we'll do is let's go ahead and get started with the topic at hand. And it's a very apt one, given the current climate of the world. You know, if you kind of think about where everything is right now in the world with, you know, quarantining of entire countries, people having to stay inside because of the coronavirus, and just a change in the way life is for so many people. You know, you look at countries like Italy that had just terrible amount of number of people that were hit with the virus and just didn't make it. You know, in Spain, China, the US right now, it's kind of going crazy all over the world. But one topic that I kind of wanted to talk about, and in the grand scheme of things, it's obviously important necessarily. When you compare it to the work that people are doing, you know, workers in hospitals or doctors, you know, that are taking care of patients and nurses that have to go visit people's homes because they can't get to the hospital, or, you know, any type of essential worker that you can think about, like they're all doing things to try to keep society taken care of, right? I preface that with saying that, you know, my topic is not something that's like super important. But what I do find interesting, and the reason why I'm bringing it up, is just because I think it can do important things for people. And what I mean by that is people kind of spend their times differently, right? People will, and when I say that, I'm talking about the times that we're in. People will read books, they'll play video games, they'll watch movies, they'll spend time with significant others, their children, whoever they're living with at the time, however they might, you know, spend their time. But I know for me and a good amount of my friends and just people that I know, one of the things that we're kind of missing a lot of is sports. And sports can mean different things to a lot of different people, right? You have workers that, you know, their jobs are to work with sports teams, and they're, you know, also feeling this because they're not able to go to an arena or go to a stadium and, you know, work the ticket booth or work merchandise or food or anything like that. So they're, you know, affected in a monetary way. You also have athletes and how they're kind of dealing with this, because what happens is, you know, during a season or during, let's just say, on a year's time, you know, all they're doing is training. All they're doing is making sure their bodies are right and getting ready for the next season and just kind of working themselves, not just physically, but mentally, right? They might be learning a new playbook, or they might be going over workouts to integrate new team members to their current team. So they use that time during the year when it's not in season to kind of prepare for the forthcoming season. And without that, they're kind of left to not really know what they're going to be doing. Or they don't know how they're going to be spending their time, just because there's not, you know, there's no practice, there's no training camp, there's no summer like time that they can get together and work out. So they're kind of left like not knowing what they're necessarily to, like what they can necessarily do. And that's, you know, another subset of all this that's like trying to find their way. And then you have people like me who enjoy watching sports, who really get caught up in it, you know, fantasy football and just debating about sports, watching, you know, I'm a huge Laker fan, of course. So when the Lakers are on, I'm just super invested and just waiting for the next game to come, waiting for the playoffs, which would have been started now, which I'm very, very bummed about that. But people like us who aren't necessarily, you know, in the ecosystem of playing sports, you know, on a professional level or working for a team or an arena or something like that. But, you know, I play sports. So I play basketball fairly frequently. And it's something that I haven't been able to do either. So it's affecting people in so many different ways. And I think sports, one thing that it's really good at is bringing people together. You know, when you go to a game, you kind of find people that align with your allegiance, let's say. You know, so if you're a Laker fan and you go to a Staples Center, you're obviously going to be surrounded by people that are Laker fans. You know, if you go to a Yankees game and you're a Red Sox fan, you're probably not going to have a great time. But you're going to find other Red Sox fans there that you know, you might have not even known or ever interacted with. And you're going to have that bond with them that you wouldn't have otherwise. So sports can really help you connect in a lot of different ways. Yes, it can be divisive, and yes, it can be somewhat toxic on some levels, but generally I found that it's a super good way to find that kind of common ground or commonality between you and someone else. If you have nothing else in common, if you're both Laker fans, you're going to be able to talk about something, right? You're going to be able to talk about your favorite players, your memories of the team, and things of that nature. So one thing that I've found that I've been missing is kind of that discussion or that interactivity with my friends, with, you know, just social media, things of that nature of, you know, what's going on with the Lakers or who's going to the playoffs or who is, you know, who's a better team, so-and-so or so. Like, that discussion is something that I really miss around this time just because it's not, you know, there's no sports happening. And it's kind of crazy to think about no sports happening at all, like, across the world, right? Like, Premier League's, you know, indefinitely suspended, I guess. They haven't outright canceled it, I don't think. You know, MLB is looking for ways to kind of bring the season back. Opening day has not happened yet. It's supposed to happen, I believe, beginning of April. NBA had to shut down, and they're trying to figure out ways to continue the season. So it's like so many different things at play that it's a definitely a time in which I don't remember in since I've been alive of things being this affected. It's been since I'm gonna say since 9/11, and I was living in, you know, up north at the time, New Jersey, about 15 minutes, 20 minutes from Manhattan. And I think that was the last time that I remember things being affected in some way. Not just, you know, on a day-to-day business level, but also like in sports. I remember watching, I'm going to say it was like wrestling at the time, like WWF or something. And they had a kind of like a service, not a service, but it was like a moment, you know, like a moment in the show that brought like gravity to the situation. And although I knew that it was a terrible thing that happened and just so many people were affected, family and, you know, the city that I knew were affected, I think it was at that moment that I was like, oh man, this is kind of nuts, just because I had never seen something like that before. Granted, I was younger, but it definitely brought a weight to everything. And I think what I feel about this whole thing now is just a sense of like a puzzle piece missing. And one that I'm hoping comes back soon, once everything else is settled and things are kind of just, you know, taken care of as much as they can be. You know, and hopefully that happens sooner rather than later. But yeah, I think that's where we are right now, just hoping things come back. I think with everything that has happened with Kobe and his passing, the passing of his daughter and everyone else on that helicopter, that was something that I really was looking forward to. Just seeing the season play out in a way that really brought a sense of, and not honor to Kobe, but just, you know, doing this for him, right? That's a big reason why I'm doing this podcast, is because he meant so much to me. And to lose someone that you kind of grew up alongside, right? When he came into league, I was young. I was super young. And I kind of grew up mimicking him and his mannerisms and his attitude and all this stuff. And I identified with him in a lot of ways. So suffice it to say, like, his loss also created a loss in me, that I was kind of living through how the Lakers were performing because he was, I mean, he was that franchise for such a long time. But that's basically where I stand with all this. And in the grand scheme of things, sports are sports, but I think sports can hold such a, it can hold such an important piece of society, and a sense of community and togetherness that I think is sorely missed right now. But, you know, that's also one of the things I think that is going to happen once all this stuff is over, is just that sense of community is also going to be there because we're all going through this right now together, right? It's not just a US thing. It's not just a something going on in Asia or Europe. This is happening all over the world, and we're all going through it. So I think that's one of the things that you're going to see once all this is done, is a sense of togetherness from a wider set of people that I think is going to be even stronger once we're out of it. So that's basically what I wanted to say. It'd be interesting to know how you feel, if sports, you know, how you feel about sports. Do you think it's something that is missed by yourself? You know, do you have opinions on it? Do you play a sport? Just kind of interested to know if you have any of those stories or anecdotes to share. If you do, feel free to let me know. So, I guess with that, the next thing I want to talk about is the footnote? No, the endnote, I guess, of the show. This is where we recap one of Kobe Bryant's games and just have a discussion based on that. You know, this is obviously going to be a bit extended when I have someone on the show that I can kind of toss questions at, have a discussion around the game. If I found anything of importance on it, maybe small things that I think should be expanded upon. But for this first one, I essentially just wanted to start right at the beginning. Just talking about the game a little bit. First game was in 1996, November 3rd. Lakers actually had a game before this, but he didn't play that one. Not sure how Kobe would have felt then, but I would say, if I had to guess, not well. But his first game was against Minnesota. He only played 6 minutes. And I think where you're going to see is, as we go through this, you're going to see fluctuations in his play in terms of how much he plays, his output, things of that nature. And, you know, I'll kind of talk about things that I found to be interesting or that I found important. And the reason why this game I wanted to highlight on its own is because, as I mentioned, he played 6 minutes. Only had one field goal attempt, and he did not make it. Only had one field goal attempt, and he didn't make it. So, you know, he was 0 for 1. He had one rebound, one block, turned it over once, and again, 0 points. Which, if you know Kobe, you know that's not common for him. But what you'll find during this rookie year is just, like, even if you were to just look at the box score, you'll see how much he goes up and down in terms of his scoring, minutes played, how he changes his game as he matures. And I think that's one of the fascinating things about Kobe and his time in the NBA is just how much of a change his play. I think one of the things you'll find interesting about Kobe during all this process is how much his game changed as he matured and got older. and his circumstances, right? Like, he played with a lot of different players, some big names, which we'll go through, you know, as we go on. But at this point in this game, I should say, you know, if you look at the Lakers starters, you know, you had Shaq on the team. Of course, that's basically at that point in time, like, this team was Shaquille O'Neal's team. You had other players on there that had been there for a bit, of course, but Shaq was essentially the guy on this team, right? Like, he already established himself in Orlando. He was dominant there already, so he was coming over here with that kind of reputation. And then you had Kobe on the team, and, you know, he was essentially the last man out, so to speak. Like, he was the last person in terms of minutes played in this game. But then you had people on the team that were there for so long. You know, like, Derek Fisher was there. Byron Scott ended up coaching Kobe. So it's like all these players that were on the team already, but that Kobe was kind of learning from and just absorbing that knowledge like a sponge. And you can definitely tell that he took some of that knowledge that he gained from all these veterans that were on the team, and he made himself better as he went along, of course. So one of the reasons why I wanted to kind of highlight this game specifically is because one of the things that I remember feeling when I started playing basketball was a sense of belonging. You know, I went to a Catholic school growing up, and thankfully we had a church league that other school, you know, other religious schools would play in, and we had a team that wasn't, there were so many different characters and skill levels, and I'm very thankful for my coach at the time who, you know, allowed me to join the team. And I still remember the first year that I was on the team, I definitely felt that I wasn't supposed to be on the team. You know, I was definitely shorter than most people on the team. I wasn't as athletic. I can't even remember if I could really shoot. Like, I was just this little, like, kid trying to fit in as much as possible. Thankfully, like, I was able to kind of play defense a little bit, so that helped. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was on the team. And also, I didn't give up when practice and tryouts were, like, so difficult, right? They had us running suicide drills. If you know basketball, suicide drills are basically running to each, you know, foul line to baseline, you know, half court to baseline, back and forth, so on and so forth. So I was doing all that, and I didn't quit. I definitely wasn't in first place in those drills, but I wanted to make the basketball team so bad that I kept going. And I felt out of place in those moments because I wasn't the best on the team. I wasn't in the starting lineup or anything like that. Like, I was just part of the team. But to me, that was enough. And I think through all of that, to kind of bring him back to Kobe, like, I think he felt, he had to have felt that way at certain points, especially during his rookie year, but very early on. You know, as everyone knows, he was traded to the Lakers from when, you know, the Hornets originally drafted him, but he was traded to the Lakers, and he was going to a team that obviously wasn't his team. It was Shaq's team at that point. So he had to kind of work himself up and show the team, but also, I'm sure, himself, that he was up to the task and he wasn't just going to be, you know, just another player on the team. He was going to be one of the best basketball players we've ever seen. So for me, that kind of evolution, so to speak, came the second year that I was on my church league. You know, by that point, I had grown, I think it was maybe like a foot or two. So, yeah, probably, I think I went from like 4'9" to like 5'9" or less than that. I'm not sure. I think the evolution came around the second year for me. By that point, I had gone through a growth spurt. So I had become like one of the shorter members of the team to probably the second tallest member of the team, which got me in the starting lineup, which was an adjustment on its own because I had gone from playing like a small forward position whenever I was out there, just playing like garbage minutes, to the starting lineup and playing like a power forward center position type. So I was playing against, you know, taller kids from other schools, and that was a whole another learning experience for me. But for me, that really was where I started to feel like I could make an impact on the team and I could really put in the time to try to get better enough that I could contribute in different ways. So for me, I think that's one thing you'll see as we go through this process is just those moments where I found that you can tell that Kobe was evolving and getting better. And I will definitely try and highlight some of those games to illustrate, you know, that same sort of dynamic that we all have ourselves when we're doing something over and over again and we're just not feeling like we're getting it, or we're feeling like we're just not good enough to get it, or, you know, do this one thing that you like doing or something that you hope to, you know, aspire to be able to do. And then finally something just breaks through and you feel not only like you're skilled enough to do it, but you're also confident enough to do it as well. So, yeah, that's basically the first game he had. Not much to talk about, obviously, with 6 minutes to play and one missed field goal attempt. But I wanted to kind of highlight that because I definitely felt a sense of connection to that. And it made me kind of look back in my own time. That moment that I felt the same way, or I felt a sense of not fitting in and kind of growing into my role. So yeah, we'll go ahead and just leave it there for, I guess, this first episode. This was a lot of fun. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is going to evolve as we go along, and kind of how, as Kobe found his groove, I'll definitely find my own. Not sure how I'm going to score 81 points in a podcast, but I'm sure we'll get there. So with that, thanks so much for listening. It's been a blast putting, you know, the start of this together and just finding something that I was super passionate about just in the planning stages and really looking forward to just seeing this thing through, getting into interact with all of you. And hoping that we all get through what's going on in the world together. I'm sure we will. And looking forward to the next episode. So we'll go ahead and see you then. Have a good one.